Now, before I begin, I just like to ask you this question. Did you enjoy the 2010 Winter Olympic Games? Yeah, right? Did you actually go downtown or go to any of the events? Who did? Please show your hands. All right, yeah, you know, many of you did. I did too. Eva and I enjoy walking downtown, just you know, rubbing shoulders with the crowds, and it was a wonderful experience. Now, on the last day, that is the day when Team Canada and Team U.S. Met in the hockey game for a gold medal, right? It happened that that day was also the day when our church was holding the annual general meeting. Now, however, a lot of the members still remained behind to attend the meeting, and I really appreciate your attendance. These brothers and sisters really deserve the gold medal. Now, after the annual general meeting, a group of us were able to watch the second half of the third period of the hockey game in the fellowship hall. The last minute of the game, of the match, was like eternity. It was breathtaking. It was so intense. And unfortunately, it ended with the greatest disappointment to all Canadians, right? The gold medal was almost in the bag, but Team USA tied the game up in 2-2, right? And every Canadian across the land from coast to coast to coast would say, right? But the most precious and memorable moment happened. 7 or so minutes into overtime. What happened? Well, of course, Sidney Crosby, right, scored the winning goal. He shoots and he scores, right? And so that's the end of that. That is history. And Canada won. Sorry, Pastor Andy is not here today. Pastor Andy is preaching at the Pacific Grace Church in Vancouver. But anyway, you know, we won. It was a great feeling. Those of us who were watching at the fellowship hall, we saw the presentation of the gold medal. And when the people at the Coliseum, or no, not the Coliseum, the GM Place or Canada Hockey Place, sang "O Canada," we sang, we joined them in singing that national anthem. It was a great feeling, wasn't it? It was a great feeling. Now, 2 weeks later, the Paralympic Games have just begun. May Canadian athletes achieve excellent results again. I want to ask you, what comes to mind? What comes to mind when you see a disabled person? Back in Jesus' day, a Jewish people believed that if a person was born with a disability, someone in the family must have sinned. Or if something went wrong in a person's life, that person must have sinned. And so here in John chapter 10, when Jesus' disciples saw a blind man begging in the street, they naturally asked in verse 2, please open your Bible again and follow along the outline printed in the bulletin. They naturally asked Jesus in verse 2, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now come to think of it, don't we have a similar attitude to that of the disciples? In dark moments, when we search our lives, we sometimes wonder, I must have done something wrong. In desperate moments of our lives, we pray, "Oh God, if you get me out of this jam, I'll do good," implying that I must have done something wrong, that I got myself into this problem. And when we feel frustrated, we cry to God, or we cry simply, "What have I done to deserve this? How come this happened to me?" Does all this sound familiar? It sure does. We are as stuck in this cause and effect thinking as Jesus' disciples were in the first century. What do the disciples see when they look at the blind man begging in the street? I doubt if they see a person. For sure, they see his blindness. They see a problem to be solved. But do they see a person? A person in need? Struggling with everyday life? Struggling with people's judgment on him? When we look at a physically challenged person, what do we see? In today's story, Jesus sees a person in need, not a problem. Jesus has compassion for the blind man, and he wants to heal him. And when people asked, was this man born blind as a result of sin? Jesus answered in verse 3, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. In other words, this man was born blind so that the whole world could see the great things that God would do and can do in the life of this blind man. Jesus' answer gives us great comfort. We live in a fallen world where good behavior is not always rewarded and bad behavior is not always punished. And therefore, innocent people sometimes suffer. If God took suffering away whenever we asked, we would follow him for comfort and for convenience only, not really out of sincerity, out of devotion. Regardless of the reasons of our suffering, Jesus has the power to help us deal with it. When we suffer from a disease or a tragedy, let us not ask, why did this happen to me? Or, what did I do wrong? Instead, ask God to give us strength, to give us understanding, so that we can withstand, so that we can stand up to the trial. We can have a clear perspective on what is happening to us. I think of Nick Vujicic, the Australian born without arms and legs. I'm sure you have heard of his story before. Imagine his struggles and emotional turmoil. He became a Christian at the age of 15 after reading today's story in John chapter 9. And he was touched by what Jesus said to the man born blind. He was touched by verse 3. This happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. Nick really took it to heart and believed it. And so, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He believed that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. He learns that if we pray for something, and if it's according to God's will, it will happen in God's time. But if it's not God's will, then God has something even better for us. And now at the age of 21, he's got his bachelor's degree and become a motivational speaker all over the world, touching lives, influencing lives of, by the thousands. Why was Nick born without limbs, without arms and legs? We don't know why. Sometimes God lets misfortune happen so that he can do something special in our life. We may not like it, and yet at the end, when we look back, we say, praise the Lord. God is not limited by our disabilities. In today's story, Jesus decided to take away the blind man's disability. Here we see Jesus as the shining light, giving sight to the blind man. In verse 5, he says, "I am the light of the world." Jesus made the same declaration in the previous chapter, chapter 8, verse 12, where he says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in the dark, will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus came into the world to shine in the darkness so that sinners like you and me can avoid walking blindly, can avoid falling into sin, can be redeemed by him. He lights up the path ahead of us so that we can see how to live in accordance with his will, so that we know how to follow him. Now here, Jesus gave vision to the man born blind. Physically and spiritually, Jesus gave this man a brand new life. In verse 6, it says, Jesus spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. And when you read this, you may say, "Ew, yuck," right? And the non-Jews thought that there was healing power inside a spit. But the Jews thought it was superstitious and forbade people to heal anyone using this method. Now, Jesus healed the man with spit and mud to let the whole world know that God could heal a person in any way he chooses to. God is not limited by human traditions. God doesn't have to abide by human customs. There is no limit to the power of God. In verse 7, Jesus said, after he put mud on the man's eyes, Jesus said, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam." Siloam is a pool located on the south side of the city of Jerusalem. The pool of Siloam was built by King Hezekiah 700 years before Jesus was born. It had the purest and best tasting water in the whole city of Jerusalem. But that's not the reason why Jesus sent him over there. Jesus sent him over there because he wanted to know, is this man teachable? Will he obey my instructions? Will he do what I tell him to do, even if it sounds far-fetched? Putting mud on a person's eyes and, washing it with water, then the person will get healed? It sounds far-fetched, right? But Jesus wants to find out if this man is teachable, is obedient, is willing to follow his instruction. A faith and obedience always go hand in hand. The first step toward having a better life starts with a willingness to obey Jesus Christ in all the little details of life, firmly believing that he has our best interest in mind. Jesus Christ will never show us a way which ends up in a dead end. And the blind man was willing. And so he went, washed, and voila, he can see. He could see again, thereby beginning a brand new life. And when his neighbors saw him, they were impressed with his healing. And they didn't quite recognize him because, he was sitting in the street before begging, and now he could walk. He is no longer begging. Now here we see that when we start to obey Jesus, and when Jesus starts doing powerful things in our lives, people ask questions because they notice. Now they ask questions like, what's going on with this person? What has happened to him? How come he looks different? How come he is full of life? How come he is so happy? I just pray that when people see us, they see the work of Jesus Christ in us, and they see the beauty of Jesus Christ in our lives. Because they were suspicious of his healing, the neighbors brought the blind man to the Pharisees. Why going to the religious rulers? Well, because verse 14 says that it was on a Sabbath that Jesus made the mud and opened the man's eyes. Making mud was a form of kneading. Those of you who know baking or who know how to bake, you know that you have to knead the dough, right? Making mud was a form of kneading, which was forbidden work on the Sabbath, because that is just like cooking. The Jewish rules forbade cooking on a Sabbath. And so the Pharisees asked the man, "How did you receive your sight?" The man answered, "Jesus put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." And some of the Pharisees said, "Well, this man is not from God, because if he was from God, then he would keep the Sabbath. He would not break the Sabbath." But others said, How could a sinner who breaks the Sabbath do such miraculous signs?" And so as they debated among themselves, they couldn't, find the answer. And so finally, the Pharisees asked the man again, "What do you have to say about him?" Meaning Jesus. "After all, it was your eyes that he opened." Well, the blind man said, "The man is a prophet," in verse 17. But the Pharisees still had a hard time believing him. So they asked his parents in verse 18 to come, but his parents refused to give a direct answer to their question because they were afraid of them. Because the Jews had already decided that anyone who would believe in Jesus would be kicked out of the synagogue. And maybe you think, well, if that's the way the Pharisees treat people, why would anyone still want to be a member of such an unfriendly gathering, an unfriendly religious organization? And nowadays, if things are not working out with the church people, with the church that people attend, they can just go to another church, right, down the street. But in Jesus' day, in every town and city, there was only one synagogue. And being kicked out or put out of the synagogue not only meant that the people could no longer worship in the synagogue, it also meant that they were completely cut off from the social life of the community. The other members of the synagogue had to stay at 6 feet away from him in any situation, on any occasion. Even family members were not allowed to get close to the person. That's why the blind man's parents said to the Pharisees, "He's of age. That is, he's mature. He's an adult. Ask him yourself." Because the parents did not want to take a chance of, getting kicked out by the religious leaders. And then in verse 24, the Pharisees had the man born blind come back in. They said to him, "Give God the credit for what happened to you. Don't give the credit to Jesus. He's a Sabbath breaker. He's a sinner." But the man did not obey them. Instead, he gave a most powerful testimony in verse 25. He says, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know. I once was blind, but now I see." In other words, I don't know much about Jesus. I don't know much about religious rules. But the one thing I know is that Jesus changed my life. I'm better off today than I was yesterday because Jesus gave my life back to me. He did something for me that I thought could never happen to me in a million years. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I try to look into yourself and ask, am I better off today than I was a year ago? I'm better off because I asked Jesus to be my Savior. I'm better off because I started praying regularly. I'm better off because I started reading the Scripture regularly. I'm better off because I have joined the devotion milestone campaign. And last week, I was visiting with a brother, and he told me that ever since he started reading the Bible regularly recently, he has a better understanding of God, and his faith is stronger. I praise the Lord. Jesus can truly change lives. The Pharisees were unhappy with the blind man's story or with the blind man's answer. And so they kicked him out. But when Jesus found him, when Jesus heard about it and found him, Jesus, took him in. Here we see Jesus as a seeking light. He said himself in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." And when everyone else judged and rejected him, Jesus stood by the blind man. In the same way, when everyone else despises us and rejects us, Jesus is always by our side, supporting us, comforting us. And sometimes we are so disappointed that we try to hide away from Jesus. We don't even want to draw close to him. And yet, he still comes to seek us out. He still comes to bring us back to him. He says, "I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you." In today's story, Jesus went looking for the man and made him a disciple. And when Jesus found him, he asked the man, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the man answered, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped Jesus in verse 38. Now here we see Jesus as the saving light. And when this man bowed and received Jesus, I'm sure he forgot about the days of his blindness and the pain of being kicked out of the synagogue. And when he called on the name of Jesus, he was eternally saved and received into a family where he will never be removed, where he will never experience excommunication. Jesus said, "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." This man had received Jesus' promise. And the truth is that every one of us are born into this world is born spiritually blind. And we all need the power of the Holy Spirit to open our eyes so that we can see who we are, so that we can see who Jesus is, so that we can come before Jesus and ask him to heal us, to cure us of our spiritual blindness. The Apostle John wants us to respond to Jesus the same way the blind man did. He wants us to say, "Lord, you are the only one who can open the eyes of my heart. You can make me see things that I've never seen before. Lord, I believe. Lord, I worship you." Now watch how the man's spiritual condition improves as the story goes in chapter 9. You see, in verse 11, the man saw Jesus as a man. And then as we move to verse 17, he saw Jesus as a prophet. And then in verse 27, he saw that Jesus was a rabbi. He had disciples who followed him. And then in verse 33, he saw Jesus as a man from God. And finally, in verse 38, he saw Jesus and believed in him as Lord. Now, this tells us something, doesn't it? It tells us that Jesus healed the man not only physically, but also spiritually. Now, it is more important to see the truth with the eyes of our heart than with our physical eyes. Now, the eyes of our heart will open more and more if we keep drawing closer and closer to Jesus. If we keep praying, reading, and worshiping God, we will get to know Jesus. We will get to know God more and more. You know, God is wonderful. He used the man's blindness to make all the people see the truth about him. Now, today, God is making us see too. When we see somebody who doesn't look like us, who doesn't sound like us, who doesn't act like us, live like us, do we label them? Even in our midst, I'm sorry to say this, you know, we are all Chinese by descent, right? Most of us are Chinese by descent. And even when some of us get together, now, some of us will say, oh, he speaks English with an accent. Oh, he didn't grow up here. Oh, he is different from us. Blah, blah, blah. Today, the truth revealed to us in chapter 9 of John is Jesus Christ sees a person. Jesus Christ doesn't see a problem. I believe that Vancouver's hosting the Paralympic Games gives us a good learning opportunity. We are inspired by the athletes' determination and perseverance in their training and in competing in the games. And when I see a disabled person who can navigate a downhill course, skiing, at 100 kilometers an hour, I would think that he is capable of doing other things just as well. It's time for us to remove barriers, whether physical or attitudinal barriers. That is, you know, our attitude. And we all need Jesus to teach us to see people the way God does. And Jesus Christ says, this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. Now, Jesus loves all people just as they are. And he will save anyone who comes to him by faith. And the question is, which do you prefer, darkness or light? My family and I went camping at Yellowstone Park. One night, all five of us lay on the ground and looked up at the sky. The surrounding was pitch dark, and we were high up in the mountain, a few thousand feet from the sea level, close to 10,000 feet. And we were so close to the sky, to the stars, that we felt we could almost pick any star that we wanted. The stars were so big, were so bright. At that time, you know, that little rhyme, twinkle, twinkle, little star, it just doesn't work because they are not little, they are big. And it seemed that we could almost touch the sky. It was an amazing feeling. It was an amazing feeling. Just like the bright stars that lit up that pitch dark sky, Jesus is the shining light. He shines in the darkness. He is the seeking light. He comes to seek those who are lost. He is the saving light. He can give us new life in Him. If you are tired of the dark, if you are tired of wallowing in sin, if you are tired of failure, come to Jesus today and step into the light of His glorious salvation, and He will help you. And for those of us who are Christians already, let us remember, there may be times when we find ourselves in darkness. There may be times when we find ourselves in a situation where we don't see any way out. Remember, Jesus is always there. His light is always shining. All we have to do is to turn our eyes upon Jesus. All we have to do is to look up to Him, and we'll be able to see the light and follow the light and get out of our situation. Jesus is the light of the world. Whoever follows Him will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Amen. And let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for coming into this world. We thank You for being the light of the world, shining in the darkness, so that man no longer follows darkness, but follow You, the light of life. O Lord, we pray that if there is anyone in our midst who still doesn't know You, may You speak to him or her and help him or her to see the light. And those of us who are believers of You already, we pray that Your Spirit in us will help us always follow Your light, so that we can always walk in a way pleasing and acceptable to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.